In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Today, my thoughts turn again to this wonderful Holy Spirit, because in the Holy Spirit there is life. He is the Lord and giver of life. During these days of Easter, the church meditates upon the Acts of the Apostles, and she does that in a very special way. She just doesn't do that because she's got nothing else to do, but every Eastertide for 50 days, the church will meditate upon the Acts of the Apostles. And why? Starting with Easter, you know? We hear the proclamation of Peter on Easter Day, on Resurrection Day. Why does the church center for 50 days on the Holy Spirit? Yes, because Pentecost is coming, but Jesus died and rose to give us the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ died not only to forgive our sins, but to empower us with the Holy Spirit so that we would be his presence in the world and we would do the things that he does. This is the reality of the Holy Spirit. That's why without the gift of the Holy Spirit and that release of the Holy Spirit, what we are doing is going through the motions, You see, if you want to get examples of Holy Spirit life, you look at the saints. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Spirit of God, and they have all different flavors. They have all different flavors, these saints, but they were all men and women of faith who were filled with the Holy Spirit and did the mighty deeds and mighty acts of God. Now, without the Holy Spirit, I'm just going to tell you, the only thing you have is dead religion. And religion and the faith life comes alive when the Holy Spirit alights over people, when the Holy Spirit is drawn into people. But there's got to be a thirst. And so the church for 50 days will center upon the Acts of the Apostles. It will preach the Acts of the Apostles. Another word for the Acts of the Apostles is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Luke was very, very, very fond of the Holy Spirit. He speaks about the Holy Spirit in his gospel like no other person does. He speaks about the Holy Spirit in Acts like no other person does. Luke is so completely convinced that the power of the Spirit was what gave Jesus all that he needed as a human being. Though he was God, he emptied himself. And it was Jesus who was led by the Holy Spirit. Now, I know people would say, but I'm not Jesus. That's right, neither am I. But we are Christians, which means we are to be Christ in the world. And if we are to be Christ in the world, not because of who I am, but because of what he has done for me, and that he has given me the Holy Spirit, and that he has poured out his Spirit upon me, therefore he calls me to do the same things that he did. And that's just very, very, very basic. I'm not talking about things that are not basic. It tells us in the book of Hebrews, in the letter to the Hebrews, whatever you want to call it, you know, that we're going to put aside the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead, and we're going to talk about meat, you know. In other words, this is so basic. This giving of the Spirit, the laying on of hands, the praying for the Spirit, this is just basic. This is what the letter of the Hebrews says. It's just taken for granted. But you see, in 2008, you cannot take that for granted because most people have no idea who the Holy Spirit is. Because again, the Holy Spirit always, always will anchor in the heart of Jesus. If someone is filled with the Holy Spirit, then someone is filled with the presence of Jesus. It is Jesus that they proclaim because the Spirit of God will glorify me. That's what Jesus said. Now, you see, I once said this, you know, at a conference of priests, and, you know, I will tell you what I said. It was when Cardinal O'Malley first came, and, you know, all the conference of priests were all there, you know, and on the stage there were Cardinal O'Malley and his cabinet, you know, and I'm looking at the cabinet. I know most of them, okay? They're not bad men. Nothing bad about them. There's nothing bad about them. They're churchmen. They're good men. I said out loud, I said, you know, I have a problem with the people up on the stage. And my problem is that all these men are just priests, and they are not prophets. And you also need prophets on your cabinet to balance off the priests. Now, you can have a priest that's also a prophet. Well, some people get very angry at me because they said, you know, we're prophets. Well, I'm going to tell you. I'll tell you how you can tell a prophet, by the scourges on their back, by the rejection that they've experienced. You don't tell a prophet because you've been a prophet ontologically through baptism. I'm sorry. That's not the way you become a prophet. You become a prophet by looking on a person's rejection scale, looking that people, not people, but namely the institution, will always put down prophets because the priesthood and the prophet are at odds. But yet, Jesus is the perfect priest and the perfect prophet. And yet, we were baptized as priests and prophets. But you see, to be a prophet means to speak what other people do not want to hear what you speak. It's really to the priesthood, by its very nature, is you don't rock the boat. That's the very nature. If you study the priesthood, that's the way it is. I'm talking about Old Testament, New Testament. That's the way it is. The priest is into the liturgy, which he should be, into the prayers, which he should be. You know? The prophet sees things the priest doesn't see and says, if you don't do these things, God's going to shake you up. So the prophet gives the priest and the people this ability to repent. But you see, what happens with institutional religion is that, you know, it becomes priestly. It becomes priestly. And I have no problem with institutional religion becoming priestly. But without the prophet, there is going to be an imbalance. And also on the other extreme, if you only have prophets and you do not have priests, you're going to go off the deep end. So, you see, the Lord gave us this balance. And, you see, no one can become a prophet because they're going to become a prophet. You see, one becomes a prophet because God chooses the prophet. God chooses the prophet. And often, the prophet is at odds with the church. I give you an example. Catherine of Siena. Here she is, not even a nun. She's a Third Order Dominican who has union with God. And prophetically, she tells the Pope to get out of where he is, and go back to Rome. There were three popes at that time, or four popes. Prophetically, she gave him a real speaking down to. And he listened. What would have happened without Catherine of Siena, the prophetess? You see what I'm saying? The necessity of both. It's the Spirit of God that gives the gift of prophecy. One of the big complaints of the church today is that the charismatic renewal has become less prophetic. That's true. Which means we've become more institutional. And it was never raised up in the church to be institutional. It was raised up in the church to be a prophetic light for the institution. Yes, never to leave the church, but always to challenge the church. That's what the prophet does. You see, a prophet and a priest, they are not very good bedfellows. they are at odds with each other. They have different agendas, but both offices are very necessary. And, you know, that's why nothing happens, because the institution is really challenged. Challenged by the Spirit of God. You know, what we do, we did this last year, we'll do this year, and isn't this good? And rather, you see, the bishop doesn't need around him, like the people around Cardinal Law, and we have the same kind of people, just telling him how wonderful he is. The bishop is the shepherd of the sheep. He needs to be told more than how wonderful he is. He needs to be told, you want to know what? We're doing things wrong. Our attendance is going down. There's got to be something wrong. Maybe the priests aren't preaching the gospel. Maybe you need to get the priests in and start teaching them how to preach because you're the bishop. Or this priest down the road, you know, he's preaching heresy. Maybe we need to bring him in and talk to him. If you're going to continue to preach heresy, you're not going to be the pastor of this place anymore. Now, I know about a lot of priests that preach heresy. You might not say, how do you know? Because people write to me. And I know about a lot of priests that don't preach the truth. You might ask how I know, because I get letters. I know about a lot of priests that omit a lot of things. They don't pray the creed at Mass. People get angry. They come right to me. I know there are priests that don't even hear confessions anymore. They don't believe in it. Well, the prophet would go to the bishop and say, you know what? Something's got to be done. Rather than just saying we need confession, something, we've got to take this guy in. He doesn't hear confessions, and he tells people everybody's going to heaven. Do you see the imbalance? That's because the imbalance is an imbalance of Pentecost. Because the Spirit is not allowed to do what the Spirit wants to do. Now, this is not a criticism. This is constructive. We need to face our problems. Because if we do not face our problems, we will die in the West. We need to face these problems. Because if we do not face these problems, we will die in the West. Already less than 23% of people that are Catholics go to church. Less than 23%. There's something wrong somewhere. You do not need to be a prophet to know that. So, you see, what's missing? I'm going to tell you, it's not a what, it's a who. Because in the Acts of the Apostles, the church was vibrant, not because they were the greatest men in the whole world, but because they were inflamed with the Holy Spirit. It could be that way again. This is the vision of God. The vision of God until Christ comes in glory is Pentecost. We are living in the days of Pentecost. The Spirit of God comes when we pray for Him. You know, we need you, Holy Spirit. Jesus, baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Inflame us with the power of God. We need you, Lord. We cannot get along without you. We cannot do business as usual anymore because we are dying. You know, you don't have to be a prophet to look in the churches, at least in the Northeast, what's going to happen in 20 years. At least in Boston area. You know, we have all older people. That's not wrong to have older people, but there should be a mix. Where are the young? Where have we failed? We have failed. How are we going to get them back? Not without Pentecost, believe me. Not without the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not without the power of God. believe me. You can have all these campaigns and all these parish renewals. I've been through so many parish renewals and not one parish was renewed. Something's wrong. And you know what? It's all right to say something's wrong if we get on and see how do we rectify it in the power of the Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel, through allowing people to come to Christ, to giving their life to Jesus, to surrender to Jesus, through the proclamation of the gospel by the priests and by the deacons, that the word of God must be proclaimed and it must burn in people's hearts. We are facing a great crisis. And I said it in 1990, it is a faith crisis. We've all been taught in the school of unbelief. Jesus left us the Spirit so that there would be signs that followed the preaching of the gospel so that people might realize that what we do has power. Not everyone will accept it. But at least it's not some impotent, namby-pamby, watered-down religion. It's high-powered faith in the Spirit. Now, the prophetic needs to come out again. But I will tell you what they will do to prophets. We do it all the time. We will destroy them. We will silence them. We will put them on a shelf. But the prophetic is so necessary. You want to know why? Because without a vision, the people perish. And the prophet needs to be weighed and measured by the priest. It's not either or, it's both and. The prophet needs to be weighed and measured by the priest, especially the bishop. But he or she is not to be discounted. They are to be listened to, and then there must be discernment. Now, my question is this. Why is it that Muslim mosques are being raised up and Catholic churches are being closed down? It's a good question. Why is it that Muslim schools are cropping up one right after another and Catholic schools are closing one right after another? Why is it that it seems like Islam is starting to flourish while Christianity, Catholicism, is starting to ebb? These are questions, you know. These are questions that we need to ask ourselves. And, you know, you've got to face them head on. You face them head on and saying, we are in absolute need of the Holy Spirit. We are in absolute need of a move of God like God did during the time of Francis. Things were the same. But God moved through Francis and Dominic and Catherine of Siena and people like this. There was a move of God, a move of the Holy Spirit, a move of worship. It was more than liturgical reform. It was worship. Worship always leads us into the presence of the Holy Spirit. With worship will always come proclamation. And so the little poverello was called the little troubadour of the king, singing the high praises of God. Why is it? Because God didn't want to see his church crumble. So he raised up some little nobody. Have we become too sophisticated for Francis? I think so. Imagine if somebody now in 2008 went into the square and took off all his clothes and said, I will no longer be your son, but I belong to God, for I have been born again. We'd have him arrested. We'd have him arrested. We wouldn't give him a chance to reform the church. Imagine now, this is the man that was allowed as a ragamuffin to go and see the Pope. Imagine if there was a man like Francis that had this great vision. It's not Francis, somebody else. It could be a woman. And they wanted to get to see the Pope. You're not going to get to see the Pope. You see, the Pope is so guarded, like the bishop. There's something wrong with that. You see, there's something wrong with that. The Pope should not be so guarded that he does not hear the prophetic from the ordinary people like Francis that are not ordinary in the eyes of God. The bishop should not be so guarded that he doesn't hear the prophetic through an ordinary person. That's not ordinary at all. You see, what we've done is we've isolated the hierarchy. And to keep them clear from anything that's happening, and to let them stay in their own ivory tower. Now, I know Boston is no ivory tower. It's been nothing but a calamity for the poor archbishop. I know that. But you know what? There still is an ivory tower. He still has no idea what's going on. I wonder if he knows how many of the churches in the Archdiocese of Boston preach heresy. He certainly knows when a priest touches somebody inappropriately. So what are we saying? Spiritual rape doesn't matter, but physical touch does. Well, I'm sorry. Spiritual rape matters because this is the eternal soul of people. We need Pentecost. We need the Holy Spirit. We can look at the church and say, these are the things that are happening, but there's only one answer. And the answer is come, Holy Spirit. The answer is come and move by your presence. Come and do something that only you can do. Come and baptize us in the Spirit. Get some surrendered souls to be totally yours. Come, O Holy Spirit, do not forsake the church. Come, O Holy Spirit, do not forsake Boston. Come, O Holy Spirit, I will go anywhere you want me to go, do anything you want me to do, and say anything you want me to say. Come, O Holy Spirit, I will be your vessel, and if it's not me, Lord, choose somebody else that's going to do it, or some people that's going to do it, for the sake of the people of God. You see, it's all for the sake of the people of God that Jesus died for. Because we are not running a business. This is the church, which is the body of Christ. To recap, the answer is the Holy Spirit. You cannot have revival, renewal without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Magna Carta of the church. If he is not active and present and welcomed, you have a church that's on the decline. The Holy Spirit makes all things new, even as Jesus does, because he is the Lord and the giver of life. The Holy Spirit always leads us into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, which we are in need of. The Holy Spirit brings about the mighty acts of God through ordinary, uneducated people like the apostles, but they were anything but ordinary and uneducated. The Holy Spirit turns the world upside down when he finds people that are surrendered to the will of God. And what does the scripture say? How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Well, Lord, I need that Spirit. I need that the Spirit of God would come in ways that I've never experienced. I need that the Spirit of God would come in ways and waves to bring the gospel to people, to preach, to heal, to bless, to deliver. I need the Holy Spirit. I need a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But not only me, but everyone who hears me and the whole church. Do not forsake your church for the love of the cross. Please, O God, pour out your Spirit. Please, like never before. I remember the day when you said there will be an unprecedented outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and even the church will not be able to stop it. O God, let that be. Make us, the church, docile and welcoming to the presence of the Spirit as he comes, no matter how he shows himself. You see, it's very simple, but we have become very business-oriented. Business in the church should only be paying electric bills. Everything else is ministry. Ministry, apart from the Holy Spirit, is goggly gook, or whatever they say. It's ragtime. Believe me, it's ragtime. There is no ministry apart from the Holy Spirit. That's why very little happens. But God has bigger vision than that. He wants mighty things to happen. Tonight is Thursday, and we're going to have a surprise mass at the Holy Rosary, if you'd like to come. Next week, we will not have so many surprise masses, but we do have one tonight and Thursday at 7:30, and you're welcome to come. We had one on Tuesday, and we worshiped the Lord until 10:15. It was wonderful. And, you know, we never know what we're going to do when we have these surprise masses. We celebrate the Eucharist, and then we let the Lord just lead and do what he wants to do. Sometimes we just quiet in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Sometimes we start singing, and sometimes we start jumping around, you know. But tonight it's at 7:30. I want to also remind you that this Friday is the first Friday, and we will have Mass at 7:30 at the Holy Rosary, followed by all-night adoration. You're welcome to come. On Saturday, it's the first Saturday, and we have Mass at 5:30 in the evening, followed by a healing service. And then we have a potluck dinner in my house. You're welcome to come. Bring something with you if you're coming to the potluck dinner. Everybody is welcome. I don't know how we're going to fit the people, but you know what? We always manage.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.